This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Whether it's 1993 or 2013, crafting a political ad is all about knowing your audience, finding a message, and repeating it.
Here's an example you might have seen on the TV recently from Dan Connolly, the Suffolk County DA who's running for mayor of Boston.
To create jobs, easy promises won't cut it. My innovation plan brings businesses and universities together, creates jobs, and expands job training.
So today it's all about jobs, jobs, jobs. In 1993, the last time Boston voted for a new mayor, the city looked a lot different, and so did the ads, such as this one from then-candidate Rosaria Salerno.
She wrote the laws to take guns away from abusive spouses, to beef up security in elderly housing, and to increase penalties for dealing drugs nearby. When it comes to fighting crime in Boston, roses have thorns.
From crime to jobs, lo-fi TV spots to web-only ads, compare the political messaging from 1993 to 2013, and you'll learn a lot about how Boston has changed in the past 20 years. Joining us now is Boston University Professor John Carroll, who's brought along some of his collection of vintage political ads. He's also author of the Campaign Outsider blog. John, good to see you again.
Nice to be here, Meghna.
Okay, so let's get in the Wayback Machine.
Vintage political ads. You're calling me old here?
Seasoned. How's that?
Thank you.
And remind us, in the 1993 mayoral primary race, basically Mayor Ray Flynn had become the U.S. ambassador to the Vatican. Then Tom Menino was acting mayor. Who else was in the race?
Also in the race was Jim Brett, who was a Massachusetts state rep. Mickey Roach, who was the Boston Police Commissioner and sort of the Sancho Panza to Ray Flynn. There was Bruce Bowling, who was a city councilor, a councilor of color, who had been on the council for a long time. There was Bob Rufo, who was the Suffolk County Sheriff. There was Rosaria Salerno, who was a Boston city councilor. Who am I missing? There was Chris Lydon, who was a former New York Times reporter and a talk show host at public television here in Boston.
So a crowded field.
One more, Diane Moriarty, the lone Republican who was a lawyer.
Lone Republican in a Boston mayoral race. Shocking.
Yes.
I guess the first person I'm interested in how he positioned himself through television is Tom Menino. What were his ads like?
Tom Menino, and I went around and got these ads from the campaigns back in 93. That's sort of how it worked. There was no internet. I went and picked them up myself. As I recollected, Tom Menino's campaign would not give me his ads. And why that is, I'm not really sure. But anyway, he did have one ad in particular. And Tom Menino at that time was sort of pre-verbal. So it was a period where he had to go out and basically communicate with people in a way he had never had to do before. His ad said, "I'm not a fancy talker, but when I speak for the people of Boston." And he was in a position where that mattered because he was the acting mayor. He famously also said back then, "I'm not the acting mayor, I'm the action mayor." He basically had the political machine that Ray Flynn left behind, and that turned out to be a really powerful asset for him.
Even though he'd been acting mayor for, what, 70 days?
70 days, something like that. It was a very short period.
So he effectively overcame what might have been a political liability in terms of his public presentation and obviously turned it into a strength over 20 years.
He did his best, yeah.
Well, let's talk about some of the other candidates because each one of them had their own target constituency. Let's begin with an ad again from the 1993 mayoral race from Bob Rufo. First of all, remind us who he was.
Bob Rufo was the Suffolk County Sheriff. He ran the Suffolk County Jail. He ran the Deer Island House of Correction. He was one of the few candidates in the race who had actual administrative experience. His campaign slogan was "Safety First," and it was kind of redundant for the sheriff to be using that. But he focused very much on crime, especially in this first.
Well, let's hear the ad.
"If you stop here for a loaf of bread, you could get carried out. But the thug who robbed you could go free. Because the city does a bad job tracking down fugitives from warrants, so they're free to rob or rape again and again.
Violate a person, you can go free. But violate one of these, and the city tracks you down to the ends of the earth. That's crazy. And when I'm mayor, we're going to go after the real criminals."
Bob Rufo for mayor. Safety first.
Now, John, it's jarring
let me just
to hear it today.
Interject. One of these was a parking meter. So he's standing by a parking meter and basically saying, if you get a parking ticket, the city will hunt you down. But if they have a warrant for your arrest on a criminal offense, they don't necessarily go looking for you. So you're out there at large to commit more crimes.
Right. Well, the tone of the ad today, in 2013, feels a bit jarring, but crime was a major issue for the city of Boston in 1993.
Crime and schools were the two major issues. And this ad was visually jarring as well, because it had this sort of black and white surveillance video of a woman going into a convenience store, and then a car pulling up and a guy going into the convenience store after her, the implication being that there was going to be some kind of an attack that was imminent. So this was a very sort of ominous ad. The problem for Rufo was everybody knew he was tough on crime. He had no other dimension to his campaign. So he didn't have any kind of personal connection with people. And in a way, it was too bad, because he was well-educated, he was well-rounded, he was an interesting guy, but he came across as a stiff and a one-dimensional guy, and it didn't work for him.
Right. But obviously, he wasn't the only one who really talked about crime on the campaign trail in the 93 mayoral race. We have an ad here also from Jim Brett.
Jim Brett, right. And Jim Brett was a state rep from Dorchester. This ad starts out with him standing alongside a for sale sign, and him saying that there are too many of these in Boston, and I will come in, I'll work with parents, I'll work with educators to turn things around. And here's what the ad said.
We'll expel students who carry guns or assault teachers, extend drug-free school zones to include playgrounds, and we'll let principals and teachers run their schools and hold them accountable.
And so what do we hear there?
What we heard was basically him being tough on crime, him being tough on school reform, and this was a message that resonated. It ended up with, you know, maybe you want to trade in that for sale sign for one of these, and it was a Jim Brett sign. And Brett did win the sign war in Boston at that time. He had signs everywhere, way beyond Dorchester as well. I mean, this was a message that did well. In the end, it was really a bake-off between him and Rufo for the second spot. There was going to be a general election with the top two. Menino, it was assumed by a number of people that he was going to take one of them. Brett and Rufo were the leading contenders for the other spot. Brett out-organized Rufo and essentially beat him by about 2%.
Well, let's listen to one more ad here. This is from Rosaria Salerno. She was a city councilor for 5 years before making her mayoral run in 1993.
Rosaria, she's caring, but tough. She'll bring people together and bring out their best. But to those who would return to the politics of the past, watch out. Roses have thorns. Rosaria, in government, there are two ways of doing things, the political way and the right way. Trust Rosaria to do what's right.
Roses have thorns. You got to admit, it's catchy.
You know, you listen to this and you think West Side Story is going to break out any minute. I think that the visuals of this was her moving through these crowds in the North End during one of the festivals. One person who the Globe interviewed said it looked like she was running to open a restaurant in the North End. It didn't really convey in many ways the kind of feel that she needed. This was a real high wire act for the campaign, to seem caring, to seem tough, to seem to have integrity, to seem to be able to run with the boys. I mean, this was a period where women were not making strides in terms of chief executive jobs. They were doing well in legislatures. That year, actually, four women would be elected to the city council in Boston. But the chief executive jobs, they weren't getting so much.
Right. And one would wonder if all that much has changed in Boston on that front this time around. But, John, in the last couple seconds we have, I mean, the question I have for you is, what does this tell us about how the city has changed? Because there are a lot of measures for that. On the one hand, you know, there's 90,000 more people living in Boston than in 1993. The city is now majority people of color. I mean, so when we look at today's race versus 93's race, what are the lessons we draw out?
Well, I think there are three big things you can draw. One is organization beats advertising every time. Number two is Boston likes experienced leaders as opposed to fresh ideas. I mean, this is what the consultants back then have told me. Number three is basically you need to go in neighborhood by neighborhood, and in a multi-candidate field, little things matter.
All right. Well, John Carroll is professor of communications at Boston University and author of the Campaign Outsider blog, taking us on a trip down memory lane in terms of the 93 mayoral race there. Thanks so much, John.
Nice to be here. Thanks.
Stay with us. Coming up, The Republic of Outsiders, a new book about dreamers, rebels, renegades who are redefining what it means to think and live differently in the digital age. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.